Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is time now for our Capital Call, powered by Phillips 66 right here on K1, the one you trust. And we have our quorum today. We have Representative Wendy Stearman. We have Senator Julie Daniels and Representative John Strom. Hey, everybody, how are we today?
Doing okay.
It's almost summertime.
Almost, yeah.
I just noticed I forgot to put my contacts in.
We're going to have fun today. Today is a somber day today. We are remembering our fallen deputy, Kyle Davis, today. And our hearts go out to him. Our flags are at half staff today. So that will be at 2 this afternoon up at Copan High School. We had the governor into town yesterday. He was talking about education, so I'm just going to fire this one off. Two bills, some say were controversial when it comes to education, signed off on them on Wednesday. Wendy, we'll start with you. How did you vote and why?
I voted in support of them simply because in our area, I spoke with the superintendents in our area and in my district down into Collinsville, and they felt like this was something that largely they were already doing as far as the transfer, so they didn't feel that it, as I understood it, was not going to affect them negatively. I know different representatives had different feedback from their schools. And, you know, I am always in support of giving more control in the education process to the parents, and these bills presented that opportunity.
Okay. Senator?
Yes, I supported both the bills. I consider them modest education reform, but to the extent that a receiving school puts up a block on a child whose parents want them to transfer, or the the school the child attends tries to keep them from transferring, that needs to stop, and that's what this bill does. It's not an issue in our area, but we all cast votes based on what's happening statewide, and there are issues in some jurisdictions, and you can just imagine being a parent or a guardian and knowing that this other public school would be better for your child and having someone put a bureaucratic obstacle in your place. So that's why I supported that one. Did we talk about both of them or just the first one?
Okay.
We'll come back to the other one.
Okay. We'll come back around on that one. John, on the transfer.
In the end, on the transfer, I actually voted against the bill, and I knew it had great support. One thing you always have to think about, you vote for something on the thing. If you vote against something, things stay the same. And we're in a position right now with the pandemic that it's just, I've had a hard time when we're looking at student numbers, when we're looking at transfers. You know, so many kids transferred out. So many kids, I think, are going to be transferring in to public education. That right now is just a tough time to be doing this. We had a lot of good discussions. I knew that I was incredibly in the minority on the bill and that it was going to go, but it was just, I hate to say I used your vote for more or less a statement, but it was just a tough time to do that. And I think there were more discussions to be had.
On the other bill, something that referred to ghost students and things like that, how did you come down?
Well, there again, we were in a position where we were looking back 2 years or looking back 3 years, and we had a year in here, and we don't know how this year is going to go. So we come back into 2023, and we're looking back at these 2 years, or what would be the 2022 year. We're looking back into these 2 years, and it's hard to measure off of these pandemic years that were just turbulent, tumultuous. I don't know what the word is to use there as a standard bearer to judge our budgeting off of. And so there again, I thought there were a lot more discussions to have, and there were a lot more things that needed to be in there that we'd have to look at. And again, it's one of those deals where a yes changes so much and a no just keeps things where it is for a while. And so I just didn't get to argue about them enough.
I understand. Senator Daniels.
I supported the bill. Instead of being able to count the higher enrollment 2 years back, it only takes off 1 year and says you may count the higher of the enrollment 1 year back, your last year or the current year. When students transfer, they're kind of a companion bill. The money needs to go with them. And this was part to make sure that the receiving school would get that money earlier. There was another provision in the bill that raises the cap on how much carryover a school district can have. Literally money they save and can use for the next year. Raise the cap and eventually we'll take the cap off altogether. Literally we are saying, okay, school districts, you can decide how much money you're going to save. And we're not going to now tell you that you can only save a certain amount and you have to spend what you have. So I think that's pretty generous.
That's great.
So that's what we did. And yes, some school districts will gain money, some will lose. But under the system we have now, some gain and some lose. So again, I thought it was a modest proposal and was happy to support it.
And Wendy, on the second bill, how did
yes,
you come down?
I also supported it. It was very much a responsible approach to dealing with the money that goes into schools and the money that's coming out mm-hmm. of you know, the pockets of the individuals. I certainly want to deal with that responsibly. And I think that the people who worked on that bill, the members who worked on that bill, were very careful. They worked with so many mm-hmm. different school districts to make sure that they did not overlook any particular school financially. And they did include that carryover just to kind of help the schools through this time.
All right. Senator Daniels, this week, a lot of bills are flying, aren't they?
Yes, busy with committee work. We aren't doing too many bills on the floor. In fact, I think the school funding measure was the most substantive thing we've done mm-hmm. in a couple of weeks. And, of course, it took quite a while to get to the vote on that one. Mm-hmm. So we're very busy and, you know, I've made decisions about which bills will be heard in the final judiciary meeting this year. Tracking some of my bills on the other side, mm-hmm. seeing how they're being amended or rewritten or, you know, we've all got an interest in legislation. But I do want to tell you, this week, I think it was, we passed a House bill, a snow cone bill. You remember voting on the snow cone bill?
Oh, yeah.
This is how big government can be. Currently in Oklahoma, if you have a snow cone stand, you may not sell a hot beverage.
What?
You have to have a separate license to sell a hot beverage. And if you sell a hot beverage, you can't sell snow cones. So we had to pass a multi-seasonal license. I will stop here. Given the weather we've had this year, you could be hot chocolate or snow cone weather in any 24-hour period.
Today!
That's right. So we literally had to stop and tell the Department of Health, no, you need to pass rules so the snow cone stand can sell hot chocolate. Now what I'm on the lookout for are the rules. Will they say, but you may not put marshmallows in the hot chocolate, or you may not make it with milk, or you can't use whipped cream. So we'll be looking on that, and I'm not disparaging the Department of Health, but entrepreneurism. If it's warm and you've got a snow cone stand, or if it's cold and you can make money selling hot chocolate, why should the government stand in your way? So,
I have lived too long. I have just simply lived too long. Judge, you got a look about you here. You're dying to say something.
I'm just ready for a tiger's blood snow cone. that's it. That got me hungry for
one. Well, and thanks to this bill, you can have it year-round.
That I can, I suppose.
Wendy, how have things been going in the committees that you were on?
Pretty slow. I am on administrative rules, and so that we don't really hear bills. We're just reading them, and so that's what this week I've just been contacting mm-hmm. the various agencies to discuss, such as, you know, the horse racing. They have quite a few rules. The Horse Racing Commission, they have just some minor rule changes, but several of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Department of Mines and just all the little agencies that we don't really think about in this state. So just talking with them and working through their rules.
Getting quite an education, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great way to learn a lot quickly.
Judd, how are we doing on the budget?
Well, you know, we look back, we'll have this month's budget numbers won't come in for a few days. I have February, you know, we come in. Gross receipts, of course, are down a little bit to the Treasury, but most other markers are up. I mean, our mm-hmm. income tax, which is really, I think, about 40% of what we come in, is up. We have CARES Act money coming in. So, I mean, as far as the year-long budget is really on track and doing well. We're doing better than, again, I think I say it every week, we're doing better than almost every mm-hmm. state. We put more people back to work. We've kept more people at work. Our economy is really doing well comparatively. Mm-hmm. So as far as on the budget and working on the budget, we're still coming together in committees. We're still working with our Senate counterparts, and I think most of them are coming to agreements that are getting us pretty close to the budget we can agree on, or at least hand off to the governor and work on. And if you remember last year, to get through, we only appropriated, 75% of what we could spend. But we come back this year and we found that a lot of those agencies were able to create efficiencies and find savings and to function that way. And so many of the agencies that function under my committee, your auditor and inspector, your tax commission, they said, look, we did fine with that. We can stay flat and do that. So in a roundabout way, the pandemic kind of helped us, you know, really tighten the purse strings in the state and see what we could do. So that's, if you're a guy that's always looking for efficiencies and a way to save money, that's great, because they kind of did it themselves.
Wow.
Well, and there are other agencies, some that I oversee their budgets or I'm involved with their budgets, and they're saying, can we just get back what you cut? Not an increase, but can we just get back? Mm-hmm. The district attorneys are one.
Yeah.
But then, of course, there are other agencies who are asking for more, and a healthcare authority will need more because of Medicaid expansion. Mm-hmm. And I know the governor is saying that, you know, we have a $1 billion surplus. That may not be surplus to needs. That may be surplus cash. And so, as Representative Strom says, some agencies you may not need to restore that funding. Some you may need to, and some will need an increase on Medicaid expansion. We're still looking at an additional $164 million per year, forever, on Medicaid expansion. And also found out this week that there's going to be additional small sums for improving dental benefits under Medicaid, mm-hmm. and pain management benefits under Medicaid, which I didn't know were separate programs or separate benefits. So, yes, everybody is sort of agreeing right now. I think it's going to get a bit more contentious when the executive branch gets back involved in the budget negotiations face to face. But that's why we don't adjourn until the end of May. So you can have, what, a good 6 to 8 weeks of sorting out the disagreements. Got it.
Okay, it's time for the lightning round. Hot button issues and things you need to get said so people know what's going on. Wendy, what's going on?
I'm excited watching a bill that's gone over to the Senate. I am a co-author of the bill. It's House Bill 2335. It is going to get a hearing. It's an important bill right now because it prohibits any government entity from mandating vaccines for citizens. It also protects them from citizens from discrimination based on their vaccine status. So I'm thrilled that is going to be heard in public health in the Senate. So.
Senator?
Yes, and I'll be able to vote on that bill on Monday. It has been watered down so that it still has some teeth to it, but certain areas of government, university hospitals, lots of medical entities are going to be exempt, but it still has substance.
John, what are your hot buttons? What's your big issue?
I think my top issue right now is this is my third year to work on a multi-organizational jail trust system, which would take a county jail out from under the purview of the county or the county commissioners and create a trust system where two or more counties and then also different organizations, drug and alcohol counseling, mental health, vocational technology, could come in and create one entity that multiple counties could share that facility. And it's just, we've worked on it for 2 years, and then this year we finally, I think on next Wednesday at the ACCO, the Association of County Commissioners, I will present to the county commissioners from all over the state this opportunity. And we cleared the way 2 years ago for a multi-county jail trust, but for the county officers or the county boards, well then this would actually include, if we can get it through, the opportunity to, like I say, bring in mental health and drug counseling, bring in the vocational or skills technology. And so what we're trying to do is, rather than turn out a institutionalized felon, we turn out a rehabilitated citizen. And so we could shorten jail times, we could reduce recidivism, the time people go in there, if we can catch these people early rather than create lifelong criminals. We find the problem early and we fix the problem and get people out and get them back to work and get them back to life. And I think that's a great way to save a lot of lives and save a lot of money.
Indeed. I want to thank everybody for coming in on this Good Friday, and I wish you all a very blessed Easter. And can't wait till we do this again next week.
That's right.
Thank you, one and all. And you've been listening to our Capital Call, and it has been brought to you by our good friends at Phillips 66.